Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. It's funny because it seems like there's more men out there, but it's all right, men. We too can learn from these things. And I thought it would be a good idea just to look at, you know, because a lot of times what you do is you look at nature and you learn from nature, right? It's just like I saw a video of a wedding and then this duck with this all its ducklings comes waddling through the ceremony and everybody stopped and all the little ducklings fall on the mom. And you've seen also how cats, good cats, good mother cats, will herd their cats, kittens too, grabbing them by the roof of the neck and carry them, you know. So that'd be a good idea to look at some animals in nature to see mothers, okay? So I don't really recommend that we follow these things, but still I think it's a good thing to take note of. First of all, it's hamsters. Probably know little cute little hamsters. But maybe you didn't know this, is sometimes the mother will eat their young. And you know, actually, I had this experience when I was a kid. I remember I had a male hamster and my older brother had a female hamster. And he said, hey, let's have a date night. And had a date night and three little hamsters came out. Well, my brother, of course, he was older than me, gave me the one with three legs. And then he kept the other two. And then, of course, what happened was the mother ate mine. And my brother came up to me and says, bummer, but the mom ate your hamster. But the joke was on him because the mother hamster then ate the other two also. So, okay. A giraffe, I don't know if you know this or not, but when a giraffe gives birth to a baby, plops on the ground, and then the mother will keep kicking the baby giraffe until it gets up and walks. Now, of course, we understand why, because there's lions around, and, you know, it's got to get going now. There's no time to dilly-dally. Sexton beetles, they raise their kids in a decomposing mouse. That's got to encourage you. I mean, let's face it, our houses sometimes aren't the cleanest, but hey, it's nothing like a decomposing mouse. Eagles will let the eaglets fight. They'll let them fight. Now, can you imagine if you have boys, you can step back and kind of get this. But the mother eagle will let them fight and even to the death, if need be. She just sits back and goes, hey, one less mouth to feed, I guess. I don't know. Panda moms, oh, those cute little panda moms. If they have twins, they'll ditch one. Drew? Jalen? Not saying I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know which one mom would choose, but it's just a thought. Koala moms. Do you feel guilty about feeding sometimes your kids junk food, fast food? Do you? Don't worry. Koala moms, sometimes what they'll do, they'll feed their young their own poop. A quokka, it's akin to a wallaby. This is a crack-up. If she's in the wild and comes across dingoes, to get away, she'll toss them her young. To get away. A cuckoo bird, she'll hide, get this, she'll lay the egg, and then she'll take her egg, and then she'll hide them in a different bird's nest, leaving that bird to raise her young. And then last, the harp seal. The harp seal, after 2 weeks, she says, see ya, to her young, and say, you're all on your own. Can you imagine a two-week baby trying to survive? But I know that's nature. But moms in this world with humans is totally a different thing. God has given each of you moms something that is, if you will, inbred. It's part of your nature. You're a nurturer. You're a loving person. You're somebody that cares and takes care of your young. Now, this morning, we're going to look at a mom. A mom that we kind of spoke about a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you remember her name. It's Jochebed. You remember Jochebed? In your reading of the Bible, you know exactly who Jochebed is. So if you would, stand up. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid them 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would happen or be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that they may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for our mothers. Lord, each of us have had one. We just pray your blessing be upon them. Lord, we thank you for our wives and them being mothers. We thank you for their example and their love for our children. We thank you, Lord, this day for your grace and your mercy and how you also take care of us. Bless this time as we get into your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now let's back up a little bit. See, generations have passed. The Jews, the Israel nation, began to multiply. A Pharaoh came into being that knew nothing of Joseph, but saw this as a problem. So his answer to the problem was because he was worried that if they were attacked by a different nation, that the Hebrews, the Jews, would join up with them. So knowing that fear, he decided to put them to work, slave labor. But the thing was, the harder that the tasks were, the more brutal it was, the more they multiplied. So he said, "That's not working." So he told the midwives, he said, "All right, listen, here's the deal. When a male child is born, kill it. If it's a female, if it's a daughter, you may live." Now, again, the midwives were Hebrews, and they were God-fearers, and there was just no way they were going to do that. So then the Pharaoh came up with the last plan. He told his people, "Whenever you saw a baby Hebrew, throw him into the river. Just chuck him. For what? Death. Or, if you will, crocodile food." Pretty brutal. So now we see Jochebed gives birth. But before that, let's look at them. What were they both? The man's name, you can learn this in Exodus 6:20. His name was Amram. It means exalted people. Jochebed, her name means Jehovah's glory. Now, what's interesting about Jochebed is it's a compound of two words. Jehovah, or Yahweh, and glory. She's the first name mentioned that has the compound of Jehovah's name. Yeah. I mean, you might have thought, what? Yeah, she's the first one. So it tells us that she had godly parents. ones that trusted and believed in Jehovah, Yahweh. So we know that she was a godly woman. Now, if you will, look at verse 2. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. She saw, it means to look at, to observe, to consider. It's in the imperfect. What does that mean? It means strong feeling, passion, emotion. Just as you would, Mom, when you're looking at your infant child, you would behold that child and say, this is a child that is born unto me. So what does it mean? Well, just as a little more clue, in Acts we read over this. In 7:20 it says, at this time Moses was born, was well-pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. What does that mean? It means basically this, that God is well-pleased, and you can really jump ahead and say, for all children, including you. See, the first lesson that we learn, gang, that's including all of us, no matter how you feel, God says you're a gift. No matter how young you are, how old you are, I'm a gift. Now, be fair, my mom's not here anymore. She can't appreciate the gift that I am. She's gone to a better place. But I'm a gift just as you are. It's to see every child as a gift. But the second thing I want you to take note of, it kind of goes hand in hand, if you will. It's 1B, and that's this. Every child is uniquely made. Wonderfully, mysteriously, beautifully made. Now, to be fair, Jochebed saw something else in Moses. And what that is only she really knows. But it was definitely spoken to her by God. But again, it's important for us all to understand that not only we're a gift, but every child is a gift from God. And that we're all uniquely made. Do you know something? Think this through with me. No one in the history of humankind has ever been exactly like you. As the variety of the stars in the heavens, as a snowflake is never too alike, so are we as humans. God thinks that much about us. Uniquely and wonderfully made. Now I want you to notice this. She hid him for 3 months. Now remember what I said. All the Egyptians were on the alert. Whenever they heard the cry of a baby as they were going through the community, they were to go take and seize if it was a male child and throw him into the crocodile. Now, I've been reading a book about the Holocaust, and basically that's what the Germans were doing. Didn't even care. So something has to transpire into a person, into really, if you will, the side of evil. And that's what was happening here. But again, think with me. She's got to keep this baby quiet. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen a baby that's been quiet. Now, it's true when they're young and their lungs aren't fully developed, they're not as loud. It may be a wee, wee, wee. But man, when they get to be 3 months, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to wake up the dead or you from a dead sleep. Hey, guys, especially us. 99% of the time, you know who got up to take care of you, right? Your mother. Why? Why didn't she just leave you crying in your crib? It's because she loves you. She cares about you. Even now, some of you are big, smelly boys. Your mama loves you. Know that. Take it to heart. Listen to me. Your mother loves you. She's taken care of you since you were just a crying, whiny little baby. Oh, wait a minute. You're still whiny, aren't you? Well, that's true with most of us. We whine, don't we? But my mama, she'll love us through our whining and everything else. Now, I want you to notice something too. She was willing, so she was willing and determined to what? Because if that baby was heard crying, then what would happen? She was endangering not only herself, but even her family, if you will. But truly, if the baby was crying, what was she to do? And why would she do that? It's because, listen to me, she was willing and determined to fight for her child. To fight for her child. Just as I know that you, mothers, fight for your children. Against what, you may say? Against this world and everything that's in it and Satan himself. Hey, now let's look at this again. I know that it seems like I'm going back to the children, but again, your mom turns off your iPhone or your iPad at night for a reason. It's because she's trying to protect you. From what? The world. The world has entered into our homes and none of us are free from it. There's such a danger in the internet that we all, one way or another, are affected by it. Even us as grown-ups. Careful. I preach to you, I preach to myself, I preach to all of us. This whole Christian church must be careful because we're allowing the enemy to infiltrate our homes. And even, as I'm learning, even the games they play have hidden things in them. Are you very well aware, mothers and fathers, what your kids are playing? What they're looking into? There's ways to hide it. Did you know that? I have a filter. I had a guy that I knew that struggled with porn, and he told me, he goes, because he was asking, you have a filter on your computer? I said, yes, we do. He said, don't trust it. He goes, you're not a filter I can't break through if I really want to. Be careful, parents. I say that to all of us. Be careful. But again, a mother will fight for you. Now, let me back up here because I see this happening too. And maybe if you will, because my wife is a teacher. And that is, I see too many times that mothers enable their children rather than fight for their children. Don't enable them. There's lessons they need to learn. They make a mistake, they must pay the piper. It's how they learn. It's how they grow. Yes, junior or juniorette, they can sin too, just as the best of them. They're not always innocent, folks. But still, it goes back to fight for your children. Look at verse 3. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Now, what's interesting to take note of here is in Hebrews 11:23, it puts it this way. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. They were willing to obey God rather than the world, rather than the authorities. Like all of us, we need to do the same. But see, take note, she had faith. She had faith in God. She had faith that God loved her and her child, that God was sovereign and would oversee her actions. She built an ark. Now, think with me, this is the same word for Noah's ark. She built an ark. She put pitch in it. As the ark, Noah's ark, was put into the water of judgment, and only those that were in the ark were safe, she too put Moses in an ark, putting him into the river of judgment, knowing that God would watch over him. She was a woman of faith, just as I know you are a woman of faith. Faith in God and His Word, that God is faithful. Now, let's think about faith quickly, and we go through real quickly, but faith sees. Faith is not blind. Faith has eyes. But see, also, we have to understand something. It also acts on what you know. What she knew is this baby could not be hidden anymore. So she put him into the water, trusting that God would keep him safe. But let's talk about the Word. How would she know about this story about the ark? At this time, Moses wasn't born, and we know that Moses wrote these books because of oral history. It was passed down from generation to generation to generation. This is what Noah did because God called him to do it. Jochebed felt the same. But I want you to take note of something. Her faith was not foolish. Notice that she had placed it by the river bank. Hey gang, she had a plan. She was thinking this through. Look at verse 4. And his sister, which we know is Miriam, stood afar off to know what would be done to him. I believe that Jochebed told Miriam, go watch. See, she could probably get away with it a lot easier. It's hard to guess how old she was, but somewhere between 7 and 10. And she was watching. And she could get away with a lot more than if you will, Jochebed was there standing. Now, if you will look at verses 5 and 6, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. See, she placed it where a certain princess at certain times would come and bathe. See, I believe Jochebed knew about this. Remember, she placed it strategically in a certain spot. But not only that, but a certain spot for a certain princess to come by. I believe Jochebed studied this princess. She watched from afar, and she noticed something differently about this princess. That this princess, if you will, had a caring heart, a nurturing heart. But also, if you will, in saying that she had a nurturing heart, she might even had a tender spot for the Hebrews. Place strategically for this certain princess to see, or actually to hear the baby cry. That's an interesting thing. On cue, the baby who we know to be Moses cried. Now, did an angel pinch him? I don't know. Just saying. Interesting how the timing was perfect. This is God's timing. It's always perfect. It's hard for us sometimes to accept that, but it's the truth. Now look at verses 7 and 9 through 9. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. Jochebed was getting paid to nurture and breastfeed her own child. Can you imagine that, mothers? Getting paid to take care of your own kids. That wouldn't be a bad gig, would it? Oh, I know you do get paid more than any time for the monetary system. You get paid the love and affection that they do bring. Yes, mothers, believe it or not, those boys will remember every good thing that you've done. They will. I know there's the pulling of the, if you will, apron strings. It's a constant thing. But they'll remember. In fact, most of them will look for a mother just like, they'll remember your tenderness. They'll remember your faithfulness. They'll remember your faith. They'll remember. Now, notice too, Jochebed's faith is not a foolish faith. She took steps, devised the very best plan she could under such terrible circumstances, leaving the ultimate to a sovereign God. She had a plan. Do you have a plan? Oh, this can't just go to the mothers. It should go to the parents. Do we have a plan with each child? Remember, they're a gift and they're uniquely made. They're not the same. I know that from a fact of my kids. I couldn't discipline them all the same. I could tell my middle son, I'm taking the basketball away. And he would say, here, take the football too. He didn't care. But if I told him he couldn't play game on the video or computer or whatever, 360 box stuff, whatever he had, I don't know. Show you how much times I played. But the point is, you couldn't do it the same for each of them. Each one of them was different. Each one of them had to be disciplined. Why? Because, again, spare the rod, spoil the child. But still, have a plan to raise this child unto the Lord. That they would walk in faith. But for us to walk in faith, it doesn't mean to stop thinking. It doesn't mean to throw Moses out in the river and say, well, God, catch it if you can. It's like that reminds me of the old story about the guy that would say, well, how do you figure on giving to the Lord? How do you do that? He goes, well, what I do is every time I get my paycheck, I throw up my money into the sky. And whatever God grabs is his, and whatever falls to the ground is mine. Not a very good plan. But still, if you're looking for a job, as the old saying goes, if you need a job, you don't sit there in your room and say, Lord, I need a job, and just sit there. No, you go look and you go apply and you go trusting and praying. Well, it's the same thing with our children. We don't just go, well, I don't have a plan, so I guess we'll just throw them up in the air and hopefully God will do something with them. No, we have a plan. We stick to that plan. Oh, it can change, don't get me wrong. But the most important thing is that they walk in faith. So we're actively teaching them. We're actively being an example to them. Constant. They're always watching us. Yes, even failures is okay. It's what we do when we fail. Are we trusting in God's forgiveness? Are we seeking forgiveness at times? Sometimes it's the hardest thing when you have to go to your child and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Now, one more thing before leaving these verses. Can you imagine Jochebed waited for word? I mean, picture this. Here's her plan. And you know, as plans go, you never know what's going to happen. As the old saying goes, man plans his way and God laughs. But again, that's not a biblical. That's the way people feel. But she had a plan, and the plan was to stick the ark right next to where the princess came, the tender-hearted one, so that the princess would hear the baby crying and then take the baby out of the judgment waters. She had this plan to have Miriam go follow and see what happens. Where was Jochebed? Was she just doing her business, working, thinking, whatever happens, happens? I don't think so. I think her heart was beating fast. And I believe she was praying. I know that's a simple one. That's a gimme, isn't it? We pray for our children. We don't just sit there and go, whatever it be, say, hey, sarah, sarah. No, we pray. Praying that God would lead, that God would guide, that God would take our plans and use them the way He wants them to, change them the way He wants to change them, to work them out the way He wants to work them out, but constantly trying to have a plan, to walk in faith, to trust in God, to see them as a gift, to see them as they are uniquely and wonderfully made. She was a praying mother. Now, let's finish up. Look at verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Can you imagine that? See, what happened was it came to a point that he was weaned. that he didn't need her anymore in the sense of nourishment. That's when she had to give him up. But it wasn't just like, oh well, I've done what I can, it's gone. No, it's trusting God. That's a hard one, Mom, especially as they get older. As we've seen these kids graduate, there is that. You have to entrust them to God. Because remember, they're a gift, which means they're not really ours, are they? God's. Oh, that didn't take away the responsibility of training a child up in the way that they should go. It wasn't taking away our responsibility of nurturing and planning, loving and caring for them. But ultimately, they must learn to walk with God. They must have faith. So that the trials and the tribulations that they face, they'll know exactly who to go to. Not you. God. Now, last thing. I just want to take note of this, if you will. The princess named him Moses. In Hebrew, it means to draw out. You know that. But did you know that there's an Egyptian word that's very close to this? It means son. So many commentaries believe, or taters believe, one tater is another tater, potato, patata. That they believe that again, she had the double meaning. What's interesting, she knew Hebrew. Which again leads to the possibility she had a heart towards the Hebrews. But if you will, she drew a son out of the water. And something else to take note of is that Egyptians believed that the Nile was a god. Did Jochebed use that in her planning too? Thinking that this would draw even more attention to this child. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how, again, you would probably never think of Jochebed. Who does? Not very many people preach on Jochebed. Not many people talk about her. And yet, if you will, she's instrumental in God's big plan. What would have happened to the man we know as Moses without Jochebed? A woman who really, truly believed in God. Where would you be without a godly influence in your life? Whether it be mother, father, friend, acquaintance, stranger. We all have somebody that led us to Christ. Now, one of us have come to Christ by ourselves. Did you know that? Somebody was praying. Somebody was talking. Were we listening? And when did we listen and finally get it? Your faith, my faith. And honoring mothers today, what can happen too is we dwell on, if you will, the animal kingdom. And we look at ourselves like, what have we done wrong instead of doing what we've done right and continue on doing it? Trusting in God. And you know, see, that's the thing is I love about communion is the fact that again, we start anew. Today, we start anew. We start anew. And that doesn't just include mothers, it includes all of us. As we come to the communion table, we once again acknowledge what God has done. See, each one of us has been delivered from the judgment of the sea. Each one of us. We've been carried in an ark, and that ark is Christ. We've all been made free. We all have been cleansed by His blood. And we all have become His children. Every one of us. A call upon Christ. So as we come to the communion table again, I want us to just focus on that. Oh, we all need forgiveness. Every one of us. Differently, maybe. But we all need it.